How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Now, interesting subject today. A lot of talk about the last days, and our task today is to discover from the Scripture that if indeed these are the last days, how should we live differently? Well, let it be known that these days are different. Now, you know my wife is young and I am old. You know that, yes. And it's because of my elderliness and my age over her that accounts for some areas of superior experience. You thought I was going to say wisdom, didn't you? But she has access to the same wisdom I have. Life is not like it was when I was a boy. As I have reviewed history in America, the difference between life when I was a boy and with the early settlers in America, character-wise, was quite similar. Values were similar when I was a child to the values of our founding fathers. But that is not so today. And as you know, we have on occasion addressed the social, political, and national crises that we are in. It is a crisis of character. And because we're so surrounded, so let this represent you. We are surrounded with an encroaching world that wants to make us like it. Pressures coming from every direction at us to make us conform. To wear what they wear, dress like they dress, act the way they act, be entertained the way they're entertained, and have values like their lack of values. And we are in the midst of a very perverted world. And they're coming at us with all these kinds of perversions. And I suggest to you that we need to know how to live in this. That there must be something in us that comes out that counteracts what they're trying to do with us. That doesn't allow what they are to get inside us. And Jesus has given us the power, because the Scripture says, greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. And the world is full of the devil. So you have Jesus, hopefully. But if you want to know how much of Jesus you have, the answer is, you have Jesus according to the percentage of His word that you obey. Did you get that one? You only have Jesus to the percentage of His word that you obey. To the percentage of Him that you live out. To the percentage of Him that you allow His expression through you. And of course, that is why we here are devoted to the entirety of His Word. That we don't pick and choose among the commandments. We are learning the 49 commandments of Christ right now. Now, if each commandment was like a link in a chain, and you know the old adage that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Weakest link. That was really something, wasn't it? Talking about link weeks and weak links. Now, let me tell you something. If you skip one of those 49 commandments, either don't know it, don't live it, don't practice it, let me tell you something. None of them are insignificant. If you are hanging from a cliff by a chain, and you've got a weak link, you don't care which link it is, your jeopardy is exactly the same no matter which link is missing or which link is weak. So we don't get to pick and choose among the commandments and say, well, I'll obey this one comes easy, this one comes easy, but this one doesn't. We have Jesus to the measure in which we obey Him. Now, it's why with the world condition, and I'm not talking about the national political world, but the condition of those outside the doors of the blood-washed, the Bible believers, the condition out there is coming at us. It requires that each of us conduct ourselves in view of this encroachment. In fact, I've started a new thing myself. I'm not as smart as some of you because I forget to put this in vibrate mode, this telephone. This is kind of a neat telephone. I can push a couple of buttons here and...
Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction.
So everywhere I go, I get to listen to Scripture. Because I find it necessary to fill up as many cracks and spaces with God and prevent the intrusion from without. You follow what I'm saying? So I can't always get the book open in front of my eyes. But if I turn this on, you can have a microphone here. When I'm driving in my car, I don't have to listen to the radio. I'm listening to select portions of Scripture. And it's not expensive to do, by the way. So the question is, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to live in the last days? So that's what we want to learn today. And so, and number one on your notes, the first step is to understand the characteristics of the last days. Just understand the characteristics of your life context, because you are living in the context of these last days. So, the starting point for us is to understand the characteristics that are around us with which we must deal. Here's what the Scripture says. This know also, in the last days, perilous times. So the first thing you know is that the times are perilous. And look at this now. Now we are given a description of the last days. And by following the Scripture here, you will get a very exacting understanding of the characteristics of your life context. And if the context of your life were different, you could behave perhaps otherwise. But we must understand this context in which we live. So what is it? Here it is. Number one. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, This is a day of hyper selfishness, consumed with self entirely. And the only time most men do something for someone else is if it has a built-in advantage back to them. That's what selfishness does. Selfishness is motivated entirely by its own personal interest and well-being, without care or respect of God, without care or respect of the planet which God has made, the creation, without care or respect of other people who are also the creation of God. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, and they will be covetous. Have you ever seen or imagined the amount of covetousness today that we have? It is a way of life. Everybody jealous of what other people have and wanting to get it. This is the basis of discontent. Covetousness. We're never satisfied. Always reaching, but coming up unsatisfied and having to reach for more. And from the cradle to the grave, some people do nothing but reach and grasp and grapple to get. Because when they get what they think they want, there's something else on the horizon. And as you know, the scriptures, that this thing called covetousness is described by John as idolatry. Because the stuff you covet after, you make an idol out of it. How do we know it's made an idol out of it? Because it controls you. It decides where you'll spend your money and how much you'll save to get it and how hard you'll work to get it, etc. It controls you. It's an idol, covetousness. And then the boasters. Every man proclaims his own goodness. Oh, dearly beloved, this is Zeke. You see how this one even affects churches and Christianity? Everybody's boasting about proud. There never was a more prideful day. Never was a more prideful people. These are devastating indications, characteristics around us, or pride cometh before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. And the blasphemy, surrounded by blasphemers. So I'm resisting, as you can tell, to spend time illustrating each one of these. Even in our homes, Scripture tells women, mothers, wives, teach young children to be sober, to love their husbands, to be keepers at home. Ready? That the word of God be not blasphemed. It isn't just those verbal blasphemers. Our conduct does that. We oppose God. Disobedient to parents. And this, my friends, is now getting backed by the laws of the land. We now have a court system that says that children have a right not to have to obey their parents. That lawsuits are being filed, child against parents, because they were disciplined and taught. Unthankful. My goodness. We have a Thanksgiving Day once a year, but even then, ungratefulness has become a way of life, and consequences are immense because of this deficiency in character. You go to Romans chapter 1. They worshipped him not as God, neither were they thankful. And what happens? Become vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God. All these consequences grew out of ungratefulness. So, profound deficiency around us. And how can we even speak of the unholiness? The scripture tells us there are things that are done in secret that we shouldn't even speak about. When we talk about a holy God, but we have lost in America as a nation the pursuit of holiness. Not our founding fathers. They were in the main holy men. And they insisted that the laws of the land help produce a society that was conscious of holiness and of righteousness and of being so and of treating one another so. And yet, this unholiness has penetrated almost every television program there is. Even the news. Unholiness has infiltrated to the point that it literally occupies the entirety of the music industry. Unholiness is in our advertising. Unholiness is in our books and our reading materials, our newspapers. Unholiness is in our conversation, what people say. We're surrounded. This is the environment. This is the last days, this is the context. This is the context of your life right now. This is the stuff you have to deal with. How shall we then deal with that? That's our subject. And then without natural affection. And you can read Romans chapter 1, review it. You can always read other portions of Scripture, Galatians 5. Unnatural affections, men with men, women with women. Not just that. Unnatural affection, men against multiple. This week, a new political party in Denmark. Born this week. To promote pedophilia. It is their end. The platform is to reduce the age of consent from 16 to 12 immediately and eventually to get rid of the age barrier whatsoever. Unnatural affection. This has other applications. And we men, we live in this. We women too, you women. We live in this context of unnatural affection. It's being promoted all the time. So that a man's appetite for something legitimate gets inordinate. It means out of the ordinary, out of reason, becomes a compulsion, driving an obsession. That is a legitimate drive that has become unnatural, an affection that has become out of balance with everything else. And occupies. It's described by the Bible as men whose eyes are full of adultery. It's unnatural to think sensual thoughts all the time. It has its proper marital context. in a natural way. Truce breakers. It was Jefferson who said the Second Amendment needs no other protection than truthfulness. Freedom of speech needs no other protection but truthfulness. Unfortunately, that protection of truthfulness has been dismissed. It doesn't exist anymore. And now the Second Amendment means the freedom of speech to lie, to break your word, to tell stuff that's not true. So that now news reporters don't have to report truth anymore. They can report a suspicion. He may have done this. And they making stories out, making up stories before the story exists in order to drive their business, get listeners. And so they word it craftily. False accusers. This applies to the news media, don't you think? As my comments just moments, that no truth is, let me tell you, dearly beloved, listen to the words of the wisest man in history. Truth has fallen in the streets. Truth among the people isn't important anymore. Until all our media is imitating the National Enquirer. I mean, they used to be scam magazines that were off to the side. They were mixed with the dirty stuff. Thinking reasonable people put no stock in those magazines. But their style, their reporting, their content has now become mainstream reporting in America. Incontinent means no restraint. If you're talking about an incontinent person in an elderly home or in a hospital, that's someone who cannot prevent their bowels from gushing. But in this context, incontinent means they don't have the ability to restrain themselves anymore. They are so driven, they haven't the ability to control themselves. It's out of control. Fierce. That's part of the context of your life. Did you listen to any news this week? In fact, it's hard to listen to much of it. Got a grandmother this week who locks up her grandson 11 hours a day for 3 years in a dog kennel, in a dog metal dog cage. Talk about, you know, massacres. We talk about dismemberment and beheadings, and it's become reality. No longer science fiction. It's no longer fiction. We told it as fiction long enough and permitted it long enough and created such a zest and zeal for it that now we've got it in reality. And that's part of the context in which you live. In a couple of weeks, we're going to do a Sunday morning. Well, it might be a Wednesday night, but we're going to do a teaching on the Bible principles of safety. There are safety principles in Scripture that you need to know because you are living in a context where it is fierce. and you never know. And we know that safety is of the Lord. And the Lord has lined up a series of principles that are intended to guard us and guard our children. It's fierce. The mocking of those that are good. Widespread. From some of the most elite politicians in the country, all the way down to children. And this is the context in which we have to live. Traitors. Yes, political. Yes, political. Toronto, this week. Young people, 5 of them under the age of 18, arrested, Muslim, never been to the East, born in Canada. With 3 tons, which is 3 times more chemicals than was used to blow up the towers. Plotting the nation in which they're born. Connected, we think, to America and the state of Georgia. And the enemy is from within. Nationally. Don't be shocked, my beloved. This is the context in which you live. And this traitorship, you know what the Lord said about in the last days? Man's enemies be those of his own household. Traitorship by children, to parents, and parents. Let me tell you, every divorce is a traitorship. Every divorce. Every divorce. And I know, beloved, that some of us were that. But we aren't anymore. Amen? Never again. Traitors. Heady. And let me show you the next one. It's kind of high-minded. High-minded has to do with a pompous self-exaltingness. Heady, on the other hand, is different in this, that heady refers to someone who is rushing headlong, head forward, is without thought or restraint, is plummeting forward. And high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do I need to say much about this? Lovers of pleasure. Hedonism is the predominant philosophy of the day. And now here's the unfortunate part of it. That it has become the driving philosophy of many Christian churches. The purpose of going to church is hedonistic. What is hedonism? It is a pursuit of self-pleasure, self-gratification. We don't come here to have worship that gratifies us. We come here to produce worship that pleases heaven. Heaven is the spectator. Heaven is the audience. This does not revolve around us. But you understand that in this context in which we live, where men are lovers of pleasure more than they are lovers of God, this tends to get at us so that even those things about us that have to do with God become self-serving. So Jesus Christ becomes my servant instead of me becoming his servant. Prayer has to do with getting my will done on earth through heaven instead of getting his will done on earth through me. Prayer has been perverted to twisting God's arm to get him to do my will. I suggest to you, dear friends, that this, These outside conditions, which are described by the Bible as last days conditions, are so prevalent that they are infecting and affecting us. More than lovers of God. Who comes because they love God? I hope that you can say me. We pray because we love God. We read our Bibles because we love God. Oh, we love God. Because he is so unspeakably holy. Not a flaw in him. Oh, the greatness of our God. Oh, how majestic is our God in all the earth. No wonder the angels cried when, in the year of the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne. And his train filled the temple. And above the throne sat the seraphims. And they each had six wings. With twain they covered their eyes. With twain they covered with feet. And with twain they did fly. And I heard one of them say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts were shaken, and the smoke filled the house at the voice of him who cried. And Isaiah said, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the glory of the King. Then flew one of the seraphs unto me, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken off the altar with the tongs, and he placed it upon my lips. And he said, Lo, thy sin is taken away and thy iniquity is purged. Greatest need we have today, my friends, is people who have seen the glory and who have fire-touched lips. And these lips bless and don't curse. These lips lift up and don't put down, and these lips exalt him, they don't degrade. Not many lovers of God, but oh, let us be in their number, amen. More than lovers of God, they're lovers of pleasure. Now watch this, because this also is the context in which you live your life. A religious system that has a form of godliness, a form, a shell, a semblance, an outward display that appears to godliness. But this form denies access to itself of God's power. Continues on its own way, inexperienced in the power of God. This sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women. Silly women is the order of the day. It's everywhere. They are everywhere. Now, I'm going to make a couple of statements here because I really want to get into the essence of my message, and I'm just trying to get you into the understanding the context in which you need to survive. Arnold Toynbee, the historian, said it this way. When the men of a society turn immoral, that's one thing. But when women come immoral, there is no return. Women for centuries have been the anchors to godliness and righteousness. That's why for centuries they have tried to, by artists, put paint and pigment and canvas together and capture the character of her countenance. Woman has been on a pedestal for centuries. Moral pillars. And this antagonism should never have existed between the genders. Men have had the avowed purpose of pulling them down off the pedestal to get into the gutters where they are and shouldn't be either. But now we're in a last day scenario where the women as commonly use four-letter words as men, where they conduct themselves in the same disgusting degradation as men do, and ought not to either. No justification here for men. None whatsoever. But when children are going to be raised by women who have lost their moral moorings, that next generation will be perverted in extreme manner. In the last days, a lot of silly women, look at these. They are laden, these women are laden with sins. Laden means they got a history of it. They're carrying it whole load everywhere they go. By the way, aren't you glad Jesus said, listen to this now, this is good news, you ready? This is why Jesus said, come unto me all ye that are weary and are heavy laden. Heavy laden with what? Sins. And I will give you rest. He intends to cure that situation to any who will come to him. Hallelujah. You don't have to carry that stuff anymore. You can be a new woman. Transformed. Laden with sins. Led away from truth and godliness. Led away by, this word divers means different kinds, diverse kinds, diverse kinds of desires that are out of control. And me feels so sorry for young girls of the society. Not our young girls, this church, I rejoice over you. But in large measure, the girls of this society have been duped. They have been brainwashed. Or should I rather say it accurately? They've had their minds polluted at young ages by the media, by music, by all kinds of stuff. And now they're in a rotten moral condition. And they even have their own lustful ambitions now that are unfulfilled and are driven by them. And then this generation is described these last days as they're ever learning. Boy, and aren't we learning? We're learning fast. But in spite of all the learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. We have learned how to fly through the air like a bird and swim through the water like a fish, but we have not learned to walk on the planet like men. We have learned all kinds of scientific neat things, which are really merely the discovery of that which has been authored by God. Nothing creative in that whatsoever. only discovering what God has going on. And we think ourselves so pompously wise to discover everything from the beginning of the light bulb through the whole revolution that we're in right now of learning, where it doubles every 5 years. And we still don't get to the truth. And you want to get to the truth. What else matters? Jesus put it very succinctly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. You'll never get lost. I am the truth. You'll never be confused. I am the life. You'll never be depressed. Come to me. But with all of the increased learning, not able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, in fact, this society, this last days, is like two people that were in the Old Testament who withstood Moses. These people of the last days resist the truth. Resist the truth. It isn't that they just don't have it, they're against it. Resist the truth. Here's the description. Men, we had to deal with the women a moment ago. Men whose minds are corrupt. I don't know how many oftentimes I've heard women say, all men are pigs. And there are not very many men around proving it otherwise. Full of corruption. Corruption. They are reprobate concerning the faith. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. Their folly shall be manifested. They won't go farther spiritually. So, the first thing of how to live in the last days is to understand the characteristic. This is the stuff we're living in the midst of. So what should you do now that we understand the context in which we live? So let's look right into the scriptures and see exactly what to do. Number two, we're to turn away from what they are. Look at this. These that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, the plain commandment is from these kind of people, turn away. Now this is the watershed verse right here. This is what the society is like. This is what you're surrounded with. This is the context of your life. Next rule, after understanding that, is turn away from all that stuff. Do not go that way. Now, I know that's going to place you in a minority position. But let me tell you something. It's a worthwhile position. We absolutely, you can go through this list and literally turn your back on every single one of these things, and particularly, this is referring not only to the whole list, but to this idea of a form of godliness that has no power in it. Don't have anything to do with that kind of religion. From such, turn away. Have nothing to do with it whatsoever. Second commandment. Number three. Next thing you need to do is know the Bible doctrines. Here's what Paul said. Now, look at this verse. We're taking the verses in sequence, okay? After all this list of the conditions of the last days, this but occurs here. Paul said, but this is what's going to keep you from it. You have no fully known doctrine. The doctrine that I've taught you. Know the Bible doctrines. We're going to do a whole series on this coming up. Not much taught on doctrine in the church anymore because it doesn't interest people. We only come because we're interested in something. But this is the stuff that will keep you, your soul, like an anchor. This is Bible doctrine. You'll see it again in a minute. So you need to know the Bible doctrines. I mean, not on a superficial level, comprehensively, experientially. And then you need to know, look at this, but thou hast known my doctrine, and look at this, the manner of life. We need to understand what a true Christian lifestyle is. Because what's being represented to the world as a Christian lifestyle is not Christian. Now, I thought I should hear more amens than that because I suspected that I was in a group of people who were of like belief as I and the Word of God. I'm telling you, dear friends, that the Christian lifestyle has come to differ ever so slightly from the world's lifestyle. I say radically to you, unequivocally to you, this Bible says that it does not resemble the world. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. You can't be godlike and like the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God. It's of the world. Now, we're not trying to get out of the world. We're the ship in the sea, but we got to keep the sea out of the ship. And the problem is, we haven't. And all these worldly things and this lift have walked in the front door of the churches, and we welcome them. Come on, sit down. Hope you enjoy our service. We need to understand what the real manner. And let me tell you something. If the manner of life is not holy, it's not the Christian lifestyle. If the manner of life doesn't produce love and discipline of our children, it is not the Christian lifestyle. If our lifestyle is not women yielding to the leader, loving leadership of their husband, it is not Christian life, is not Christian. And if men don't love their wives like Christ loved the church and gave themselves and give themselves for her, it is not Christian. But this is the problem we've got. Is we're living in this last day's context and we're starting to resemble it instead of affecting it, which is what God wants us to do. So watch this now. We need to understand the Christian lifestyle. If your business, now this is, we're going back, flashback, if your business runs your life, that's not a Christian lifestyle. You may be imitating somebody else out there in the secular world, but it is not Christian. Hey, can I meddle some more? Remember last week. If your business is before your wife and your family, it is not Christian. Number five, need to know your purpose in life. Thou hast fully known. Now, this, by the way, this fully known, this isn't just I know a little doctrine. You must fully know the doctrine. Watch this now, because these phrases are in apposition. Thou must fully know the Christian lifestyle. You must fully know your purpose. You must fully know the faith, which is the next one. And then I wrap the other three up in this one phrase. Watch this now. You must fully know how to suffer long in love and patience. Christians have to know how to suffer long periods of time. Modern Christianity is trying to get out of suffering. Or they're involved in suffering for doing wrong instead. Let no man suffer as an evildoer. Proper suffering. Number eight, how to live in the last days. You need to expect to suffer persecution. If you are the real thing, you are going to be persecuted. And that persecution will come from the strangest sources, right down to blood kin. Here's what Jesus said. He put it this way. If they hate me, Anybody know the rest of it? They will hate you. It's that simple. Because we don't play into the system. We don't go do their game. We don't go by their lack of rules. We march to the tune and the rhythm of a different drummer. We don't fit. Got some good news for them. We don't want to fit. The Christian Bible view of manliness is different than the world's view of manliness. I have bumper stickers. I love this one. You ready? Why don't you fight like a man? Get down on your knees and pray. That's what men do. Men commune with God. Men connect with God. Men understand that God is bigger than all the junk that's going around on around us. But you will be out of step. I think that's why Jesus said, "You can't serve me on the sly." He really put it this way: if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed to confess you before my Father and the angels. Christianity, the genuine thing, is not for people that have to be coaxed and coddled, and it's for people who know how to be crucified so they can live again. It's so they can die to everything and live the way they should live, so that men doesn't matter. See, men, doesn't matter whether they speak evil of us or good of us. The praise of men doesn't move us. Neither does the fear of men, because we fear somebody greater than men. Expect to suffer. Persecution. Look at it. "You've fully known persecutions and afflictions which came to me," he said. Now watch this. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Expect to suffer persecution. Now, are you ready? Don't miss the next one. Expect full deliverance from the persecution. Expect full deliverance from the affliction. Watch this now. Paul's using his example and doing a parallel with us. "You my persecutions and afflictions. You know what persecutions I endured." But watch this. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." The Lord intends to deliver you from all the persecutions and all the afflictions that you get. Now, deliverance comes in different fashion. Let me suggest, in view of time, one of them. Well, two of them. The Lord sometimes will remove the affliction. That's one way. The other way is the Lord will make you bigger and stronger than the affliction. The affliction was once like a ferocious animal attacking. But when the Lord delivers you and fills you with his bigness, instead of being a great ferocious animal, it's like having to swat a mosquito off of your hand. Why? He didn't change the affliction. See, he changes men to meet the issues, not just change the issues. And God's interested in making each of us who are men big and women think. That's what Jesus, listen, this is John. I love this. Of his fullness, of his bigness, have all we received, and grace for grace. He's turning us into ladies and gentlemen who don't bow and cower and scare easily. Because we have a God who's bigger on the inside than all those devils on the outside. Hallelujah. So expect full deliverance. And then expect it to get worse. This is a straight Bible. You all know this. I'm not giving you any of my thoughts at all. This is what the book says. Look at this. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. If you think the minds of children have been kidnapped and taken hostage by the enemy, you're right. But that is nothing compared with the mental domination that is yet to occur. All the restraining forces of a wise, holy, God-based constitutional government, all those restraining forces are being destroyed. One law by, in fact, we're in a condition right now. We had lunch with Catherine Harris this week. And I got to sit right next to her, at her request. I was somewhere else. She asked me to come so we could chat in between when she was making presentations to the small group that was there. And the issues right now are so great. Now watch this, because here is the political quandary we're in. We have laws, because we think a constitutional amendment will fix the marriage thing, right? And we have got laws passed duly into existence, signed by the president, and passed by the House and the Senate. And judges are overruling constitutional past laws. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You can expect the context in which you live to get worse. Now watch this. There will be increased deception. Look at the scripture. Evil men is where it comes from, and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And this increase has to do with deceiving and being deceived. Can you imagine? Let me just tell you a little bit about absolute, what I think is national deception. You understand that any little upstart in some other part of the world who says, I'm working on uranium enrichment and I'm going to produce a bomb, is going to get paid really good money for just having the threat. The rest of the world, the big nations, America, will cower and say, oh, well, hey, if you don't, we'll give you. And we're talking here trillions of dollars. There's something wrong with this picture. We have lost the political will that our founding fathers had. We have lost the values. We cower. We are We are in a big manipulation system there. You know, there's a little poem written, I believe it's a sonnet by William Shakespeare. I memorized it when I was in grade 7. The title of the poem is An Ode to Milton. Ode to Milton. And the opening lines go like this. O Milton, thou shouldst be living at this hour. England hath need of thee. And the poem goes on to say how England has become a cesspool of fountain, referring to ink and writing. Cesspool. I'm not sure what Ronald Reagan would have done, or Washington. You know, I think about ministries and churches and religion in America, and I've said it to my wife. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was you. I've said it to you a number of times. Oh, Charles Finney, thou shouldst be living at this hour. America has need of thee. The greatest need in America is people in whom dwells God. Men who are not for sale, who cannot be bought with trinkets and tinsel and flattery and opportunity. So, increased deception is coming. So expect it. On the other hand, you and I are to continue in what we have learned and confirmed from the Scriptures. This is what's going on around us, folks. Expect to suffer persecution. Expect deliverance from it. And look at this. Continue in what you have learned and confirmed from the Scriptures. Now look at this. Let me shorten the Scripture. But continue thou. This is what you're going to do. Because you did things that which thou hast learned and has been assured of, because this is where you get the assurance of what you learned is right, and knowing the quality and the character of those from whom thou hast learned it. Now watch it, because watch this. Continue in these things. Now watch this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's what we must continue in. If there's any one thing this congregation contends for, it is that we live by this book. Thank you. I heard two amens. That's disappointing. Thank you. Dearly beloved, until this becomes an absolute exclamation mark in you, I'm living by the book, we will not be able to contend or cope with last day's events. Paul said, continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. Who did Timothy learn them from? From his grandmother and his mother. Watch this. We'll get to that. From a scripture thou hast known the Scriptures. Continue in them. Now watch this. Continue in the Scriptures. Now watch the Scripture here. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We need to continue in the Scriptures so effectively that we have real salvation. That we're wise enough to know the real gospel from the false gospel, and we are fully persuaded, and we will procure In us, the indwelling Christ, life Christ in you, the hope of glory, and have a salvation that makes us bigger on the inside than everything that's around us. Amen? Be wise unto genuine salvation. Let me look at the clock. Okay. Number 14. Because the next verse after this verse about continue thou in the things you've learned from the scriptures. Okay? He takes a break and he tells us some of the benefits of the scriptures. And here they are. And this is what we should do with the scriptures. Everybody in this room should be benefiting from the scriptures every day, if not every hour, if not every minute. Every one of us should be benefiting all the time from the scriptures. Here's why. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now watch this. And all scripture is profitable. Isn't that a good word? The whole scripture is profitable. You can't read something in here that is not profitable. I know there's stuff in here that you say, well, why did God put that in the Bible? Answer is because he wants you to profit from it somehow. All right, now watch this. All scripture given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. Now watch this, the benefits. Number one, it will profit you in doctrine. It is profitable for doctrine. God wants you to get your doctrine straight. Here's why. Beliefs, or doctrines, which are your belief, your core beliefs, produce values, and values lead to behavior. You follow that now? Beliefs lead to values. Values lead to behavior. I want to suggest to you in the disciplining and the instruction of your children, every father, listen to me for a moment. Their conduct is important. No doubt about it, but it's not as important as the values out of which they got the conduct. And the values aren't as important as the beliefs out of which the values came. And so if you want to put your child on the right track, you have to address not merely the conduct, but the doctrine, the beliefs, core values. Which will determine a person's value system, which in turn will lead to conduct. You know, I kind of feel like I'm really doing battle with the enemy this morning. But I'm not going to back down a bit. I want you to get this. The reason we have bad conduct in Christian churches is because we have bad values. And the reason we have bad values is because we have bad doctrine. Certain men, the Bible says, have crept in unawares. And they have sown concepts, doctrinal concepts into us. And now we, the American Christian church, are simply the symptom of those doctrines. Because those doctrines affect how we think about values and how we conduct ourselves. And when we have as much divorce in Christianity, let me back up and be really honest. Because according to who's the guy? Barnum. Research. There are more divorces now in Christianity than there is in the world. Now, granted, one of the reasons for that is that instead of divorcing, the world just moves in together. So that really tricks the statistics. You follow that? But nevertheless, yeah, they're not married to get the divorce. You just live in together. our acceptance, our tolerance. For example, let me look at the clock. Oh. We have been taught, for example, the doctrine of inability. I call it the notion of inability. We have doctrines taught by our learned in seminary and carried into our churches that say man is not able to obey God. Unable. Now think about that for a moment. Here's God comes along and asks you to repent of something, and well, you get the comfort to say, well, I can't repent. And so the theologian says, well, God will give you the gift of repentance, maybe. Oh, so now it's up to God. And we have shifted moral responsibility off of ourselves. Now, let me just show you what this does to a person's concept of God. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And we know we've been told by these preachers we can't repent. We shall all likewise perish. Judgment, hell, damnation. Now we've got a God who in their view is going to damn people for not doing something that they were unable to do. And you wonder why there are big question marks about God. Is because we have come up with doctrinal schemes that don't meet the test of God's word. What would you say to your child? You told him, stop touching that stove. And he said, well, I can't. There's something in me makes me do it. Well, son, my dad said, son, I'll help get that thing out of you. And he quotes a verse for it, too. Beat him with a rod. You'll not hurt him. You'll deliver his soul from hell. But you see, I only use that illustration. We are going to go into a doctrinal series. I'm not sure when we're going to start it. But we need to know what the Bible says. And not what theologians tell us the Bible says. And there is a big difference. God bless you, Sammy. Yeah. All right. Second prophet. You want to benefit by the scriptures by profiting from the reproof that the scriptures give. Now, there are a whole lot of reproofs. Reproofs are things that come along to interrupt your doing wrong. Reprove you. To stop it. For example, in the book of Proverbs, it says the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's how we know where the path is, because the reproofs surround the path, keep us on the path. You know, the Holy Spirit, he comes to reprove. That's one of his functions. But it's also what the Scripture's given for us, to reprove, to interrupt. And so God slows down. I can't speed through to get to this last point. I mean, we got so many points. I don't know where we're going to quit here, but we're going to quit soon. Dear beloved, when we come here and we learn the Word of God, whatever it is, straight out of the Bible, we must, if it contradicts what we're saying, thinking, doing, or believing, what we're thinking, saying, and doing is what must change. If you do not let the Word of God change what you think, believe, or say, then you are not receiving the benefit from the Scriptures, which is to reprove you. It's to terminate a behavior. It's to terminate an attitude. It's to terminate something that is going to destroy you otherwise. So God wants you to benefit by not just doctrine, but by the reproof that comes. All Scripture is given for doctrine, and it's for reproof. I need to make corrections. It's not the book that's wrong, it's me. and I got to adjust me. That includes motives? Yes. I like a lot of things about my wife. One of the things I like about her, she's not backward about going forward. You never have to guess what she's thinking. That's another thing. I really like that. She doesn't hold a secret thought that you need to know about for 5 minutes. You need to know about it now. She's going to tell it to you now. Timing is irrelevant because you need it now. Now, I forgot what I was going to tell them about you. I was so excited about telling how wonderful you are. Oh, yeah. My wife often will bring a scripture to me that reproves me. Now, here's the ugly part of it. Because she brought it in a scripture, well, it's not her I have to deal with. I have to deal with the scripture. Now, I would like to transfer my reaction. I don't get to do that. You may not like what the preacher looks like, and I don't know, you don't like the color of tie I wore today, or you didn't like something about the song service or something. When you come here, you got to deal with the Word of God. To me, the worst thing that can happen in church service is for us to hear the Word of God and go out of here the same way we came in. Unchanged, unadjusted, unaffected. Because then we become hearers of the Word, not doers. And guess what? Guess what the Word attaches to that concept? Deceiving yourselves. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Walk softly. The third way to profit is by letting the Word correct you. The Word doesn't just show me where I've gone wrong. The Word shows me what to do about it. To be corrected. What a great benefit. Lastly, the scripture is given for instruction. Now, how does instruction in righteousness differ from correction? Scripture comes to reprove us, let us know we're doing it wrong, correct us, tell us what to do right. But here's the next benefit of the scripture. It gives you instruction on how to do the right. You follow that? I want you to see it. Instruction in righteousness. The Bible has step-by-step instructions on how to do what's right. It doesn't just tell you to do what's right and leave you wondering, how on earth will I do it? Instructions are there. Now, if you're a woman and you're taking notes, you can change this word man to woman. It would be absolutely appropriate because this is not, the use of the word man here is not in the sense of gender, but up to mankind. Now watch this. Because our subject is how to live in last days conditions, right? And we benefit from the scriptures. Now watch the purpose of benefiting from the scriptures. Watch the screen. All this benefit up here in this verse is aimed at two things. That you might be a man of God. That is what God is interested in doing. He doesn't want us to be men. He wants us to be men of God. We're already men or women. He wants to be men and women of God. Expect to be, I'm telling you what, the days around us, everything that's going on, we turn away from it, from such turn away. And remember, all these things are compiling your job description and mine for what to do in view of last day's conditions. And I'm to let the scriptures do these things to me so I can become a man of God. And the biggest need in America is men of God. The biggest need in America is women of God. Women of God. Those, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You have to be a man, a woman of God. That's the greatest thing. In all these conditions, raise your children to be men and women of God. That's the goal, men and women of God. Now, this will shock you. I didn't say it. Expect to be perfect. Now, if you came here to hear from a psychologist or a counselor or a... You won't hear this. Nobody's perfect, are they? Wrong. Now watch this. Here, before I show it to you. More excuses are, we give more excuses to ourselves to do something wrong because we say nobody's perfect. And I'm so good at this, this, and this, therefore, you know. And we do the whole scale. I got all these good things over here that I'm really doing good at, so doesn't matter if I have something bad over here. It's just going to balance it out. Okay, enough good over here. Balance it out. And nobody's perfect. And that's a lie. And that is not what the scriptures teach. Now look at it. Take a look. Take a look. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it's going to profit us those four ways that the man of God may be perfect. Stop giving yourself slack. Now, I'm not talking about this kind of, hey, man, I'm perfect. Because if you do this, guess what? You ain't perfect. Right? But you know, it is very possible to do exactly what God says to do and be exactly what God says we should be. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? The scriptures are given. Now watch this. I want to tell you how critical this point is to the big picture here of how to live in last days. Because with all that's going on out there, and we've been through them all, right? All that list on the first page. The risk for Christians who are sincere is to compare themselves with that and see themselves as pretty good. That's the risk. Because then, as long as you carry this comparison with you in your mind, then you probably will not do diligence to correct this or to be reproved by that. Or to get the instruction in how to do righteousness in this area. Now, some would say that this word perfect means to be mature. And, okay. That means getting rid of all immaturity. That'd be fine. But the purpose of the scriptures is to make us men of God perfect. Now watch this. Fully capable. Fully capable. Look at this. That the man of God may be perfect. And look at this phrase. Truly furnished unto all good works. Truly. Some people quote it as thoroughly. I'm not sure there is a big difference, but if the book says thoroughly, I go with thoroughly. Truly. Through and through. Through and through. I can't leave myself any little piece. The Word of God comes to do it truly, right? So that, who am I? Oh, I'm going to stop here. Now, take a look at the scripture, though. I'm going to quit here. We're not going to go to the last page. Accept the charge. Given the conditions of the last days and the instructions that we have just reviewed from the scripture, this passage concludes with a charge. Now watch this. Paul said, I charge thee therefore. Now watch this, because this word therefore is there referring to what was back there in chapter 3. In other words, because of all of this I've already given you, now I'm going to give you a charge. A responsibility, a mission, a commission, an agenda, a program, a sequence of instructions. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And either Wednesday night, well, probably going to be Wednesday night, I'm going to take you through steps. Nine steps. Nine charges. God says, in view of the perilous end times, these are what they like. I want you to do all these things. And it wraps it up with, therefore, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing. We're going to see these nine elements that are critical for us to conquer in living in the context of last days.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.